Hello, and welcome to the Private Practice Made Perfect podcast. I'm Kathy Love. I started life as an OT, had an amazing, crazy private practice, which I sold. And what I do now is help allied health business owners create a business that serves them, the time, the money, the joy that they absolutely deserve. And this is where my idea for the podcast started. What I want to do is to capture how hard allied health business owners in Australia work to achieve their dreams, to support their teams, to create amazing outcomes for their clients. So sit back, beverage of choice, drive safely, walk carefully, however you're listening in, and I hope you absolutely enjoy. Hello. I've got a really wonderful guest. Like, all our guests are wonderful, but this one's differently wonderful. Sitting in front of me is Kate Hunter, who's part of the Clinico family. Welcome, Kate.
Hi, Kathy. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure, pleasure, pleasure. I think the excitement of getting to this far is just almost as good as the conversation that we're going to have together. So you're part of the Clinico family. Tell us a little bit about the work you do within Clinico.
So, Clinico, we don't have titles. Everyone talks about what they do. They get hired for a specialty, but we don't have titles as such. So I broadly work on growth with my wonderful colleague, Michelle, and we basically look at ways we can get Clinico in front of people that Clinico can help. Basically, so that, you know, that's through traditional marketing channels. So it might be email and social and all that sort of thing, but it's also through ways that we can just communicate what Clinico can do for practices and business owners and individual practitioners and how it can help their business.
Is your and your background, like, we've spoken a few times, and whenever we pick up the phone, we just run out of time every single time, every single call in between pandemic when it's a little bit of rocking going on. So is your background in marketing and messaging communications?
It's not. I started out as a photographer.
But
that led me to the world of, websites and creating websites and that sort of communicating with and small businesses, which also led me into SEO, so search engine optimization, which is often something which small to medium practices start stressing about. I've made my career filling in gaps for people who don't have someone to do, who kind of just don't have that person who can just do a bit of everything. Clinico is an amazing space to do a bit of everything because we don't have specific roles. We do what we think is good for our customers, whether it be the developers or the support team. So we get pretty much free range there.
Sounds like fun.
A lot of fun.
And let's just quickly acknowledge Michelle. Tell us a little bit about her and her role, and geography, I think, is relevant here as well.
Yeah, Michelle is an absolute gun, and I adore working with her. She's based in the UK, so we've got someone in the Northern Hemisphere and someone in the Southern Hemisphere. Clinico started in Australia, but it took off, all around the world. So, Canada was one of our biggest markets, after Australia, even before New Zealand was. The UK is growing super, super rapidly. We just seem to be really, once word of mouth starts off the snowball and we add in some communications to that, it's just kind of unstoppable. And having someone in the Northern Hemisphere working to see what's best for, audiences up there and is just amazing. It's such a great team to be a part of.
Yeah. Now, the whole Clinico team is remote, and I've met various team members over the years. And I know before the pandemic, you guys would all fly in and hang out for a few days together. That hasn't quite been possible. So it's not, Kate, you didn't miss an invite like this pandemic thing happened. So what's it like working with a, a growing team across so many continents and languages and lifestyles. And
it's incredible. I think I think everyone makes the same joke when they actually get hired. They're like, everyone in my family thought I was about to have my kidneys removed when I flew in for my first meetup, because, you know, it just seems like this whole remote job, 30 hours a week, but paid a full-time salary, you know, organic fruit deliveries, and, you know, work whenever you want, work when's best for you. It just sounds too good to be true. and it is, except it is true in this case.
Except it happens, and yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, unfortunately, the pandemic has meant we haven't been able to do our major everyone and all their family meet up together, which we're really hoping we can get off the ground next year, just when things are, yeah, just a bit more stable. Because it's a really good group of people. Like, Joel and Leora really curate amazing humans. I a bit silly saying that because I'm part of that team, but I could not tell you the commonality of all the personalities. It's the first team I've ever worked on where everyone's just a delight to work with. Like, you can have a great conversation with, and they're just good people.
Yeah, you walk into the house and it's just whoever's there. It's
exactly. And Joel and Laura have fostered this amazing culture where everyone's so open on Slack, which is our chat communication. So it doesn't matter that we haven't necessarily met face-to-face thanks to the pandemic. Before that, you know, you would have met everyone at least once or twice in your first year. But everyone shares things about their family and about their personal lives. And it's a whole lot more, open than your usual workplace because of the remoteness.
Yeah. So using the remoteness, leveraging it as an advantage.
Yeah, it's definitely an advantage.
It'll be a big party when you guys all get together.
It always is, yeah.
Yeah. I've heard about them. They sound very, very cool. So how long have you been with Clinico? It's two babies?
I came to Clinico with one baby, but I've been there 4 years now. So that one baby was one when I started, and she's now five. I've seen a lot of change. I think I was employee number 29 and we're now up to 45. So it's been a really amazing thing to be a part of.
So there's your position description, number 29.
Number 29.
Gross.
I'm putting that on my LinkedIn now.
Yeah. That's where you found, right there.
Gather around, dear listeners, for a moment of sheer audio delight. You may have heard, but we love to chat with allied health business owners. We get inspired hearing about your aspirations, the challenges you face, the roadblocks that get in your way, and business realities. So we invite you to book a free power call with a Naker Consulting business specialist, regardless of where you're at in business. Maybe you're feeling overwhelmed or overworked or overjoyed. We're here for you and we'll meet you exactly where you are, judgment-free. It's okay to book a second or even a third call. We're always keen to hear all your news. Book a free power call with us today at naker.com.au/free-power-call. Let's get the convo ball rolling. Now it's time to get back to our regularly scheduled banter.
Hey, it's Natalie, Naker Consulting's team member, jumping in here quickly to talk about one of our core brand values, connection. That is why we have set up two really easy ways for you to connect with us on another level or find like-minded allied health business owners just like yourself. Join us and our growing community over at the Private Practice Made Perfect Facebook group. This is a vibrant and helpful community that shares some absolute gems to growing your business. Another way is by signing up to our love letter. Only we could get away with naming a business newsletter a love letter. So get on in and sign up there so that you don't miss out on any of our events, freebies, new offers, and helpful industry insights that will keep you ahead of the game. Alrighty, let's dive back into the conversation.
So you arrived at a really, really interesting time, obviously before the pandemic piece, but also in that lead up to Clinico's 10th birthday. I got the surprise of my life, totally missed that milestone. I got it just in time and sent a birthday present. But What was the lead up into that 10th birthday? Because that's wild.
Yeah, it's, well, we kind of, I knew it was coming. I knew it was getting close when I started, because I was like, wow, but it seemed already, the team was so embedded. It was such a strong position when I came in. And, you know, my job's to introduce Clinico to people who may not have heard about it. And I was like, wow, I can't believe how many people haven't already heard about this incredible story, and the fact that, you know, it's a product that not only helps your business and is designed to be super easy, but it gives back to charity at the same time. You're going, and I'm like, look, and that's something that speaks directly to me as a human. Like, if I see an ad for something that also does good in the world, like, it's, you know, like, I'm a big fan of Who Gives a Crap toilet paper, because you're just going, yep, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
So it just seems and I was just really excited to be a part of that and get this into and get Clinico to more people. The team literally was, as I said, I was number 29. By the time the 10th birthday came around, we were in, you know, up to what, 43, which is, it's just crazy. Don't know.
So were you guys kind of getting excited about a birthday party? Were you sort of?
You know what? I think Joel and Leora are kind of the people which they don't necessarily think about that. Like, it was a real personal milestone for them.
Yeah.
So for people who don't know, you know, Joel and Leora took a massive risk in starting up this company. You know, Joel and Leora experienced all different kinds of workplaces, but particularly Joel working in technology. You know, he'd seen really inefficient ways of working, ways that made people unhappy, and things just, you know, he was managing people in a way that he knew didn't get the best out of them. And then finally making the decision to, he's like, no, I've got to make a change for myself. And just at the time that they got a loan to, you know, I think it was a $200,000 loan to renovate their Renovators Delight. So deciding to risk such a huge amount of money on this, you know, it probably felt like a pie in the sky at the time. You know,
this little piece of software.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think the 10th birthday, you know, we're all aware it was coming up, but I think for Joel and Leora, like, it wasn't like a, hey, like, this is an overtop thing. It's like, wow, look, there's a lot of reflection of look what came before. Oh my gosh, how did we get here? And so when we created the story on our 10th birthday page, it was like, oh wow, it was actually a really exciting time in the company, just the vibe of just reflecting on what had come before. And for those of us who, you know, joined, like me, who joined literally back being
number 29,
halfway in the story, and you're just going, I love seeing all the old photos and all the first meetups, you know, which were smaller than the last, and each one you could just see small things changing. You know, our barn, which is kind of our signature thing
nowadays. Our barn. We've all got a stake in the barn.
We do. But seeing photos of, you know, one of the first meetups, I think it was meetup number 2 or 3, which is literally just, you know, the 15 team members sitting around a bonfire when there was no barn on the property where the barn now is, you know, as someone who came after that, I love seeing that stuff. I feel like I came from something that was truly built from the ground up. Yeah. So I guess as someone who's always looking for ways to, you know, show people Clinico, I guess it got me starting to think of, oh my gosh, I don't actually know that much about the Clinico customers. Because another thing that some people may not realize is that Clinico doesn't track our customers or users in the back end in any way. So many, like, well, everyone knows, you log into Facebook and, you know, a cookie's dropped on your browser and you're chased around the internet by ads, which some people enjoy and some people don't. Clinico doesn't do anything like that. But even to the point that when someone signs up for Clinico, we don't even ask you what kind of practitioner you are, you know, whether you're an osteopath, whether you're an occupational therapist. So I'm going, wow, I don't even know who uses Clinico the most.
Who am I talking to out there?
exactly. And it's not the kind of thing that, and the reason this has happened is because, you know, developers, the company was co-founded by a software developer, and developers are really passionate about privacy and people's privacy. And that's why it never occurred to Joel that we should ask that kind of thing when he was building the software. And then when it comes to, you know, marketing strategies, he's just going, no, it's people's privacy. Like, let's protect people from themselves. We don't want to, you know, invade their privacy without them understanding, you know, what's happening. So I was like, well, how about we survey them? Like, and let's see what people want to volunteer in. That way people can give us this information if they want to. But, you know, it's not like we're making everyone do it, and we can get this information in another way, in a way that feels more, has a bit more integrity to it, I guess, because people are just saying, yes, we want to give you this. Yeah. That was one of the reasons, the big thing for me around the birthday was starting to, was wanting to find out more about customers. But I also got to thinking about that there's things that I wanted to know as a business, so we could talk to people in the right way and get them the information that they want. Then I also realized that, you know, every time I saw a headline about allied health data, like allied health industry data, and I started reading it, it would refer to allied health professionals in a hospital-based setting, which is not relevant to, you know, majority of our customers. It's, you know, it's very much individual practice based. And then it got me thinking about the bigger picture. It's like, okay, so how do practitioners get paid? Because, you know, I know I've got some pretty good relationships with my osteo and my physio, and they're talking about, you know, negotiating salaries and starting new roles and what they're, I'm like, wow, this is all so different. And when I asked them about what they look for or what the average is, they didn't know. And I was like, so what if in this survey we ask them things that could help them orientate themselves in the wider landscape of the allied health profession? You know, am I getting paid in the right way? Am I above average? Am I below average? To be honest, some of my allied health practitioners didn't seem that happy in their roles. And I was like, so what is it? What's the job satisfaction like for allied health professionals? So this big piece of work came about in this survey. And then we even asked the rest of the team. So the survey questions weren't just captain's picks by me.
Yeah.
We put it out to the team.
You and I know what this survey is.
Yeah, so
we can get really excited about it. And like we have, and we've read it, and we've done headings and graphs, and you guys have. But what I'm hearing here is around this period of the 10th birthday, there was a looking backwards and reflecting and celebrating, but there was also a looking forwards as well. And, you know, and thinking about where is their information, where is their data, where is their opportunity to kind of add some extra value to allied health business owners. I don't know, I'm probably putting words in your mouth. I know you'll correct them all in 10 seconds, but did it all happen at once around this 10th birthday landmark? Because we'll talk about the survey in a tick, because it's really, really cool.
Yep. What was the question?
So this process of this is what the podcast is all about, this process of looking back and acknowledging what's been achieved, but also looking forward at what don't we know, how don't we help, what could we do more or less or different on. Did that all kind of happen through that same dark Melbourne pandemic phase?
Yes it did, because we knew that, like, the business pre, you know, January 2020, Clinico had zero plans to incorporate telehealth into the software.
that and changed quick. I think that, 4 days, was it?
Yeah, so I think it was 11 officially from we're building telehealth to it's out the door and customers are able to use it. You know, and that benefited both Clinico and the customers, right? Because at the time, you know, we know now that allied health or all health, you know, business-wise have done remarkably through the pandemic. So, you know, people have got wait lists a mile long, and, you know, that's good and bad. It's bad for, because, you know, that people are suffering, but it's great for the businesses knowing that despite various restrictions, people have been able to, you know, keep working. But clinic, like, we didn't know then, so we the Clinico team didn't know whether Clinico would survive. So it was like, okay, so what do we need to do to equip our customers, which in turn ensures clinico survival as well for the team that work here. And telehealth was it. And so we'd done this huge pivot, and it's really only, you know, and that's what we worked on for that year, for 2020. And then now, and so it did start to, you know, it's really now that clinico is just absolutely surging forward on just new features to the software, because it's only just now that we've been able to start looking, like, after all of that. And everyone else was, you know, clinicos are definitely a very family friendly business. So it's like everyone's looking after their family as well as getting the work done. And it's only, like, you know, once you pass through that part and you realize that everything's going to be okay, that you can start to go plan forward and go, oh gosh, what is it that our customers need? You know, what is it we want to do for them? What's going to provide the most value to the most people?
Makes sense. Absolutely makes sense. So what's this survey called? What are we going to call it in our conversation, at least for the next few minutes?
Well, you know, let's call it DULLY, like, label, call it what it is, the Clinico 2021 Allied Health Survey.
Okay. That's good. 2021 Allied Health Survey. And you were talking before a little bit about the questions for it. Where did they come from? Like, there was a few captain's choices. Like, let it be said that Kate did say we need this one and this one and this one. But how did you gather the questions? Because I'm sure a bunch of listeners completed it.
Yeah. So there were many, many, many people who completed it.
Thousands and thousands of people completed.
Almost 3,000, in fact. So 2,654, which just surpassed our wildest dreams. So, you know, most people will be looking to get, you know, 500 or so. I think in my head I said I was happy if we got 1,000, because that would make the data robust. But to have almost 3,000 blew my mind. And it just makes me really happy, because it means that the data is just, it, you know, it's really strong. You know, this is the trends have come. Yeah, the trends come from a huge amount of people, even as we segmented it down into practitioner type and country type. So,
Remind me, when last year was it?
Yep, so it was June, July last year. So it was end of June. Yeah, so it's so there was still a bit of COVID going on. So there were some questions that became redundant out of it, because it was like, are you still open? And, or as in, are you operating open or closed? Mm-hmm. So those things became, okay, they're really only a time capsule of that exact moment, because, you know, many countries have come out of lockdowns and gone back into lockdowns, or had restrictions that allow them to open their business again. But for the most part, all the questions are still relevant now. So the one of the amazing trends that came out of it, to circle back to what I was saying before, or about my own practitioners and how happy they were in their roles, it actually turns out that allied health practitioners are overwhelmingly super happy with their positions and how they're remunerated and their team, which, you know, especially in the context of the whole big buzz around the Great Resignation last year, it's like, wow, this is a trend globally. So, you know, our responses, we had responses from I think it was, you know,
how many continents are there?
Yeah, exactly. It was like 30 plus countries, but you know, the majority obviously came from Australia, UK, Canada, and New Zealand. And we just found that trend is actually global. So despite the pressures of a pandemic, despite the restrictions and the opening and closing of businesses, practitioners are overwhelmingly settled in their roles and happy with their progression, they're happy with their remuneration. And of the small amount of people, or relatively small amount of people who are looking to find new roles, it's generally related to money. But then when we asked the people who'd been in their roles longer than 10 years, why they'd been in that role for 10 years, all of them overwhelmingly said that it was, well, not explicitly all of them, the vast majority said that it was because of the team and the culture that they were a part of.
Gold. And no,
so you might be changing for more money, but if you stay, it's because you love the people you're with. So I found that so heartening. And particularly for psychologists as well. Like, so even psychologists, I was thinking the Great Resignation has to be hitting those guys. Like, they've got, you know, out of all of the disciplines in allied health, like, that's the one, you know, obviously you're dealing with people who are really, really struggling on a mental level. And compounded by a pandemic and wait lists that are astronomical and the inability to hire enough people to service those. But even psychologists are like, no, I'm good. I'm settled. I'm happy. I get excited and I don't know how to describe it properly.
You do get excited. It's great. It's good. It's good. It's good. So you've had your head in the data for 6 months.
Yes, it's taken longer than I'd hoped to get the results out, but I think the reality of so I'm based in Melbourne, and you know, we did this survey, and then we had the last lockdown September, end of August, or actually no, middle of August through to sort of end of October, and there was no childcare there at times. So you know, I have two young ones, so you know, that obviously added to the long time. But and then we got into Christmas, but finally, you know, New Year came and I was able to tidy it up and make it all presentable. And then we onboarded our brand new writer, Ashling, who was able to take all this all these results and write them into beautiful words that people can digest easily.
Take away and use. How many questions were there?
There were a lot.
There were.
So it also depended on, it was a bit of a choose your own adventure. So it sort of depended on what kind of role you're in and whether you're a business owner or not. So you didn't get all the questions, but there were roughly around 70. And some of them as well were around, as I said, about whether you're whether you're a business owner, whether what kind of practitioner you are. Things that we can help tailor Clinico to in future, the way we talk to people and what they want to hear about. So not all the questions are addressed in this, just because they're things that, you know, aren't necessarily of interest to anyone but our team.
Yeah, absolutely. So 70-odd questions, bit of choose-your-own-adventure, nearly 3,000 people participated, and it's now written up and available, and by the time anyone's hearing this, they're going to be really pissed off that they didn't do the survey, and I want to know where the next one is, which I'll ask you about later. But I think first and foremost, they'll be thinking, where do I get my mitts on this sort of information? So what is the process of kind of releasing the report out to people and making it available?
We're gonna put it on our blog, so it's accessible by anyone. We will email people for those who don't necessarily come direct to the Clinico blog, and we'll of course post it on our social channels.
Yeah. And as people sort of open it with a cup of tea or whatever, what do you want them to experience as they read it?
I want them to feel like that's relevant to them. Mm. I think that's the first thing I want them to go, oh, that's me. Or even the things that, because I think there's things that people are going to go find obvious. So I think the number one bugbear of all allied health practitioners around the world is letter writing. But I think allied health practitioners know this, but it's like, haha, I told you. See, that's the most painful thing in our day.
Everyone in the world doesn't like this either. It's not just me.
Exactly. Here's a list of our biggest frustrations and our biggest time suckers that keep us away from patients. And, you know, letter writing is number one. See, I knew that. I didn't need a survey to tell me that. But at the same time, this validation that says, haha.
So for readers to sort of feel part of a bigger global community and to be able to identify with the challenges and opportunities that as a global collective now they kind of experience?
Definitely. I think it's for them. I feel really strongly about the fact that there hasn't been this orientation for allied health practitioners. Like, so individual associations will do research and they know a lot about physios or, you know, or exercise physiologists, but no one's talking about the business side and no one's talking about how hard it is for allied health as a whole, regardless of the practitioner type. So, you know, one of the things we know from the survey is that, you know, a huge amount of work is being done by allied health professionals, regardless of whether they're solo or whether they're in an average practice, which is about 3.3 practitioners. Like, it's almost 50% of either of those, which don't actually have any admin support. So, you know, it's like they're not outsourcing, like this large number of people are not outsourcing bookkeeping, or they're not outsourcing marketing. They don't even have a practice manager. They don't even have a receptionist. They're literally doing it all themselves.
Oh, so it's a lot of work.
Like, and I feel like knowing this kind of thing that's specific to your industry will help you feel like you're not alone. You can talk to other businesses, regardless whether they're a physio and you're an osteo, that kind of thing. And I guess celebrate the things that you know because you wear so many hats. And, you know, maybe someone else can get, maybe you can start a conversation about, you know, what advice, you know, what have you learned in your practice that's helped me, that kind of thing.
Well, how do I shift from this place?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm sure, Kathy, actually, I'm sure one of the things that you know, that you're going to enjoy is how much people love business coaches.
There was a coach question about that. And I was intrigued. I read one of the earlier drafts of the report. I haven't seen the latest, but it probably didn't feel like it from your perspective, Kate, but I probably read the thing about five times. And I got kind of the first third, and I sort of thought about some stuff and sent that. And then I read the first third and the second third. Then I went back and then I read the whole lot. And so there is a lot of information in there. And I guess just as a warning, it might look overwhelming, but it's actually really, really, really understandable with the way that you have brought it down into words and graphs. Like, to take that data set and get it into what you've done, I don't know what magic happened, but it's really, really understandable. There's nothing scary about it. I wouldn't want anyone to not go and look at it because they don't think they'll get the numbers. It's totally, totally practical and functional.
Yeah, and that was definitely the goal of this. It's meant to be for your average person to read. It's not an academic paper. It's formatted as a blog post that you can you can read through over coffee.
Yeah, and particularly dwell on the question about the business coaching, possibly question.
Well, one of the big I think one of the most time consuming things about having 2,654 responses is that we had a lot of free text fields, so a lot of explicit detail about everything. Like, you know, people wanted to share a lot, but you know, one of the big things they've shared is that they've gone into running businesses. But they weren't taught how to run a business. Mm-hmm. So they're spending with their, you know, you want to be a physiotherapist and have your own practice. But the reality is that doing that means you're actually not doing that much physiotherapy in that circumstance. And people lose a lot of confidence. And so that was definitely a recurring comment is, I'm lacking confidence. I need confidence. And that's, you know, that's the kind of thing that is going to lead people to kind of go, okay, who can I get to help me? Because I want to do more physiotherapy. I want to do more of the thing I'm good at. Like, how do I get really efficient and really smart about the things that I wasn't taught when I was studying?
Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful stuff. So are you and Clinico going to do another survey?
Look, nothing's set in concrete. We'll see, you know, we'll see if people find this useful, because at the end of the day, we don't want to produce things that aren't going to help people. So we'll see what the feedback is on this. And then, you know, I'd love to do it again, because I think there's a lot of things I'd change. There's a lot of new questions, because that's the thing about asking questions. When you don't know things, you ask some questions which lead to other questions. So there's a lot of things that people put forward through the survey, which I now want to explore. So hopefully, if the response is positive to this information, we can do it again.
Yes, we've just got to make it positive, don't we? Like, I don't know, Joel, if you're going to listen in, but, you know, what happens if you don't do another survey?
I don't know. Maybe we'll do another one on the 20th anniversary.
Oh, that's miles away. That's miles away. Maybe every 5 years?
Too long for my liking.
Oh, I was just kind of giving you a little bit of a break. Okay.
No. I enjoyed finding out everything we did, even reading every, well, it was more than 2,654 free text comments, because there was probably about 4 free text comments per response. And
oh,
I read all
gosh.
Of them. So there is a lot I want to ask after this one.
Okay. So coming to a Facebook group near you in 2023.
We'll see.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Just a huge piece of work. Kate, is there anything else you'd love to kind of just say to kind of put a bow on the 2021 Allied Health Clinico survey? Anything else we haven't covered that you'd really love people to know?
I think that's it. There's a lot in there. I think some people are going to find more other pieces, some pieces, parts more interesting than others and more relevant than others. So I think have a read and like let us know what you think too.
All righty, beautiful. Thank you for coming in. Thank you for coming in
pleasure.
And making your podcast debut with us.
I'm not quite as eloquent as the one and only Joel Friedlander, but this is
it's okay. Different is good. We like diversity. So, yeah, huge kudos to you and the Clinico crew for getting this massive piece of work done. And I think what I'm hearing and what we will just have to make happen is something more frequent. You just kind of cut your teeth on the first one, the next ones will be so much smoother.
Yeah. Well, it's a first, and it's like anything you do for the first time. You don't know what you don't know, and you just take what you've learned into the next one.
So once again, just remind us where allied health professionals can get the report.
Yep, you can get that on the Clinico blog, which is a nice big link. You know, just scroll a little bit down the page. We'll also put it on our socials. And for those who signed up to our email list, we will also email it directly to your inbox.
And you're up for feedback.
Definitely.
How can
they provide that? So social channels or through our support channels. Any way you're used to sending us feedback, you can send it. Send survey feedback the same way.
Beautiful. All righty. Well done, Kate.
Thank you very much for having me, Kathy.
Pleasure. I can't wait to get you back for the next chat. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. For the show notes and other resources, our webinar replays, they're all available over on naker.com.au. And if you're loving what you're listening to, please subscribe. We don't want you to miss out on a single thing. And if you want others to get the same benefit that you've had from listening into these episodes, please share this episode and any of the others forward to any of your other allied health business colleagues. And we are totally here for you. Don't forget for a moment that you can jump on in and book that power call, and we can see how we can help you get the best of business done. Looking forward to seeing you there.